the government shutdown and its impact on the airline industry. How is it affecting you at the airport? How could it possibly be impacting safety? Let's bring in Ryan Summers this morning. He's the senior aviation business editor for skift.com and joins us from Los Angeles via Skype. Ryan, let's begin on that. The government shutdown now pushing into, I believe it's 21st day. There has been some concerns about how this might be impacting aviation. What are you and your colleagues reporting about it there at Skift?
Well, Steve, the government shutdown is a mess for a lot of reasons, and it will probably get worse, of course, not just for aviation, but for a lot of other industries as well. The biggest thing that customers are seeing at airports is, anecdotally, a lot of people are reporting longer lines at TSA checkpoints. One reason for this is it seems that more TSA screeners than usual are calling in sick. This has been reported by some major news outlets, including CNN. TSA has pushed back on this a little bit. They say it's no big deal. They have plenty of screeners. But look, if you go to social media or you talk to people who have been at airports, they say, yes, the lines have been longer. It's not hard to figure out why more TSA screeners might be calling in sick or even might be quitting. They don't get paid a lot of money in the first place, and they're not getting paid during this government shutdown. It's tough work. It's a good private industry job market right now. Maybe some of them are saying, you know what, I didn't like this job in the first place. I'm not getting paid now. I don't know how long this is going to last, and I don't want to do it anymore. So hopefully the government can sort this out and these people can get paid. So that's probably the biggest thing. There's some things in the background as well. FAA inspectors apparently aren't working. That is a big deal. It will get to be a bigger deal as time goes on, and some other things as well.
Yeah, and the safety part of this is, I mean, there's one thing to wait in line a little longer to have your bag screened. To have safety inspections perhaps delayed is another. If this shutdown continues on for another couple of weeks or months, I mean, this could become very serious in that regard, couldn't it?
It could, Steve, although I have to tell you that all of the major airlines take safety very seriously. As we've said before on this program, the airlines say that safety is their number one priority, and I 100% believe them, if only because they're smart enough to know that if they're seen by the public as an unsafe airline, people won't want to fly them. They'll eventually go out of business. So airlines have very robust safety programs internally. Of course, it's very helpful to have the FAA inspecting, auditing, doing things like that. But I do trust the airlines in terms of safety, and I think people should feel comfortable flying on airplanes for a long time.
There was a story out of Michigan over the last week where there was a plane crash, a small plane crash. The National Transportation Safety Board says it wasn't responding immediately to that because of the government shutdown. For the NTSB not to be out investigating accidents seems to be like another big deal.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable, as you say. Again, this thing has got to get sorted out, but it affects many more industries than aviation.
Brian, I want to switch gears a little bit here, and I know you've been writing about Sun Country Airlines. The headline says, inside America's most unusual airline. Why is it so unusual?
Well, Sun Country is unusual for a few reasons. One of them is it's very, very small. Sun Country only has about 30 airplanes, which makes it America's smallest mainline airline, and those are airlines that fly larger jets. They have had this reputation over the years of being a Minnesota airline based in Minneapolis. They carry a lot of very nice people from Minnesota to sunny destinations all over North America, into the Caribbean, things like that. You know, that hasn't been the most profitable niche for them, and they were recently bought by a private equity firm. They got some capital, and they are expanding now beyond Minneapolis. So they're flying from, you know, all over the United States. Amazingly enough, with only 30 airplanes, they're flying Los Angeles to Honolulu, San Francisco to Honolulu, Las Vegas to Anchorage. They're flying from Dallas-Fort Worth to the Caribbean. And none of this makes any sense, really, if you think about a cohesive strategy. But I was in Minneapolis a few weeks ago. I talked to the CEO, and the strategy is pretty much this, Steve. We will go into any route where we think that we can make money. So they don't really have traditional hubs. If they think that they can only make money in a route flying it 3 months a year, that's what they'll do. If they think they can make money 6 months a year, they'll do that. So they just go where the money is. Operationally, of course, that's a little bit challenging, but somehow they say that they can make it work.
Yeah, and in your story, you've actually written about some of the snags so far. Have they been significant? Are they stopping the progress here, the forward momentum at all?
So, Steve, they have had some snags. The biggest one happened, I think, in mid-2017. They actually stranded a lot of passengers in Mexico. There was a freak snowstorm in Minneapolis. The airline had no way to pick up the travelers, and they basically said to people in Los Cabos and Mazatlan, sorry, you're on your own if you want to get back. That was a real hit to the airline. They've mostly recovered from that, but it was a big deal at the time. If you're an airline, you send people to a foreign country, you have to find a way to get them back somehow in a way that makes them feel good. This was, you know, a year and a half ago, and they are recovering from it. But as they expand nationwide, they're going to have to make sure that they have a way to take care of their customers.
Are we going to see Sun Country in Chicago?
You are going to see Sun Country in Chicago, but you're not getting one of those really exciting routes, say Chicago to Los Cabos or something like that. You are only getting Chicago to Minneapolis. I believe it's a seasonal route, but you can fly onward from Minneapolis, and their fares are usually pretty good. I mean, one of the ways that Sun Country is going into Dallas and Los Angeles and San Francisco, where they have zero name recognition, is they are just the cheapest fare in the market. So you go on kayak.com, you're looking to fly from LA to Honolulu, you see that United cost a fortune, you don't want to fly them. Then you see another airline show up on Kayak, you've never heard of it, but boy, it's cheap, and so you book it, and that's what they're banking on.
Brian, finally here, I want to talk a little bit about Herb Kelleher, the former co-founder and longtime CEO at Southwest Airlines. When you mentioned big names in the airline industry, pioneer names, Kelleher would certainly be one of those, wouldn't he?
Yeah, Herb, as people call him in the industry, was certainly an iconic figure. People have been praising him since he died at the age of 87 last week, and he certainly deserves it. I mean, he created an airline that was really just a Texas airline, flying among three cities in Texas, and turned it into the largest airline in the United States. And he was a colorful figure, as I think people know. He drank a lot of whiskey and smoked a lot of cigarettes, including apparently in a bunch of places he wasn't supposed to smoke. He just did it anyways. You know, I'm relatively new on this beat. He retired from Southwest, I think, in 2008, so I never covered him, but I've heard a lot of great stories about him. And, you know, things would be a lot different now. There might not be low-cost carriers in the same way that there are now if Herb hadn't come along and transformed the industry. And one of the interesting things about Southwest is, as people know, they've essentially stayed what they always were. So a lot of times as an airline grows, you know, they want to have bigger airplanes, they want to fly to Europe, they want to fly to Asia, they certainly want to have first class, and Southwest still has none of that. They have an all-coach cabin, everyone gets treated pretty much the same. They did expand a little bit to the Caribbean and Mexico, they're going to go to Hawaii, but they're essentially the same as they always were, and they still fly only 737s. It's pretty cool what they've been able to do with that airline.
All right, Brian, thank you. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, Brian Summers, Senior Aviation Business Editor for Skift, skift.com, at Skift on Twitter. And make sure you follow Brian as well, at Brian Summers. And also sign up for the weekly Skift Airline Innovation Report that's delivered to your inbox. You can find that at skift.com/airline.